Okay, our first call comes from Jamal. Jamal, please go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Hey, Jamal, how's it
Looking.
going?
I'm great. I saw your guy Joel Bruh at a Ron LeGrand seminar on commercial, and he was talking about some FHA. Yeah, he's talking about some FHA things, and I got a guy that wants to do FHA. He's a first-time home buyer, and I was willing to put down the 3.5% he needs and kind of partner with him on the 4-unit or a 3-unit. Wanted to know what's the best way to structure that deal to get it through FHA approval, since they're pretty stringent.
So you've got a property that you're going to be selling to somebody?
No, this
Give
is
me the scenario again.
so a guy wants to move into a property. I want to partner with him on buying that with him, and with me providing the down payment, him providing the loan, or approving, getting approved for the loan. So how do you structure that deal to get it through the FHA process, the most efficient way?
And he's going to live in it?
Yes.
All right. So just let me understand the deal. So you're putting up the down payment. He's going to live in it. How are you going to profit from this deal?
I'm going to get 50% of the rents that are already there. So we're looking for something that's already occupied by three people with a fourth open, so that he can move into it, and we split 50% of the back end as well as the monthly cash flow.
All right. So first of all, the FHA process itself, it's just a, it, it, I mean, you both, so you're, he's sponsoring the deal, you're putting down the down payment, but you still, in order to protect yourself, need to be on the deal, right?
Right.
All right. So you're both going to need to be underwritten through the FHA. That's basically how you do the deal. Now, you have to understand that FHA typically takes anywhere from 6 to 9 months to close a deal.
Right.
Okay, so you have to prepare the seller for that, and you also have to have automatic extensions in case, you know, like say you have a, the seller may do like a 90-day close, and then you have an automatic extension that takes it out, you know, for another 30 days or 60 days, and then another automatic extension. So your down payment is never at risk.
Okay, got it. And you have, you said 6 to 9 months to close.
Yeah, it's gonna take them about 6 to 9 months to do the deal. It's crazy.
Okay. Yeah, and I know that, you can't gift him the down payment. That's the other thing, because I'm not a family member of his, so I need a family member to gift him the down payment and then reimburse him some other way after closing.
Yeah, so you're gonna buy it under the owner occupancy provision and then resell it?
Right. At a later date.
It needs to be gifted from a family member
Okay.
somehow, so you have to work that out. There's different ways to do it.
Okay.
Hey, good luck. Let us know how you make out.
I will. Thank you very much.
All right, cool. All right, who's next?
Okay, our next call comes from Janet. Janet, please go ahead.
Hi, Dave. This is Janet in Lakeland, Florida.
Hey,
I
what's going on down there?
Well, the weather's great and everything, and my apartment is drying out from the hurricane, but I keep running into the SEC regulations on accredited investors. I did a little bit of online research about it and discovered this was set up in the early 1930s, before I was ever born, and they haven't made any changes to it since then. It's almost 80 years old. How are they getting by with none of say companies like yours in this industry aren't complaining about it?
Well, they have made changes, and they've made some significant changes. One of the changes they made during the Obama administration is you can't use the equity in your house to qualify as an accredited investor. And the recent change with the Jobs Act is now allowing you to do solicitations to accredited investors, where you couldn't do what the heck are they called?
I know there are a lot of restrictions on there, and I'm having to tiptoe around everything.
Well, it's not tiptoeing around everything. It's just understanding how to follow, it's understanding what their rules are and following them. I mean, we don't tiptoe around anything. We just follow their rules. You know what I mean? I, you know, the most common question I used to get, but I don't get it anymore. Maybe I've gotten my message out, was how do I get around the SEC? I was like, you don't get around the SEC. You would be smart to just assume that every deal that you do is going to be a security, and the definition of a security is when you have two or more investors in a deal and they don't share in management decisions, okay? So unless you just have one investor in your deal, which a lot of the single-family flipping will just have one investor, so you won't need to follow the SEC requirements. But if you're doing anything bigger, or if you have more than one investor in a deal, which a bigger deal usually does, then just assume it's going to be SEC, and assume that you're going to have to follow Regulation D, Rules 504 to 507. And you just do that, and then that way you're safe. There's no tiptoeing.
Okay.
It's just following the rules.
Okay. Now, I shouldn't use the word tiptoeing. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what's right, what's going to keep me out of trouble. I have a federal background, an extensive federal background in contracting with the Navy, and this kind of blew me away when I started really going into the regulations on all of this, on how strict it is.
It kind of threw you? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it kind of threw me for a loop on here. Like, it looks like it almost eliminates a lot of people who could be investing in it if they would loosen up on their regulations.
Well, you know, I'm not sure what, you know, if you want me to agree with you. And I don't agree with that. I think it's done for consumer protection.
It
came out during the 1930s when there was a lot of fraud happening and people were losing their money left and right because the deals that people said they were getting them into weren't really the deals.
Right.
So that's
yeah.
That's why a lot of this regulation came about.
No, that I understand. It just seems like there are, at least what I've been finding, what I've been looking at, there are restrictions on it, or you have
here's the thing you need to do. You need to change your mindset. Instead of looking at it as a problem, look at it as an opportunity. You've got an opportunity to go after investors, especially accredited investors, which means that the risk of you putting a deal together with accredited investors is a lot less, which means your liability is a lot less than getting somebody just from the street to invest in your deal. So if you follow the rules and regulations of the SEC, your liability or your risk is a lot less when you do these deals.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and the thing is real estate is all about risk, and we take calculated risk when we can. And we're always looking for ways to reduce our risk. And by following the rules and regulations, we reduce our risk.
Okay, great. Yeah, well, that's the answer I've been looking for, and I haven't been able to find, but you just gave it to me. Thank you.
There you go. Hey, you know, we got a big event coming up in October, the Private Money Bootcamp, and I have my attorney come in, and he takes you step-by-step through this whole process.
I'm hoping I can make that one. I don't know. I just have to wait and see. I'm the one that's going through some medical things here, so I just have to wait and see how this all plays out.
Well, there's a home study system that we have as well. I'm not trying to sell our stuff, but I'm just trying to give you some resources. We've got a home study system, or you can just go online as well and look up Regulation D, Rules 504 to 507. But
no problem. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck. Okay, who would be next?
Is that me?
Who are you?
Hi, Dave. I didn't know if you could hear me. My name is Elise.
Elise, that wasn't your fault. Usually the operator introduces the next caller, and she just plugs you in without introducing you. So that's okay.
Okay.
So,
is it okay, or should I wait?
Listen, you are okay in my book, so you just go right ahead.
All right. Thank you. I don't want to interfere with anything. But, yes, I too have come out of a long illness, not myself, but my father. And he finally passed. passed away. But I have met you previously in Phoenix. You have come to Phoenix to the a real estate investors meeting, and I have read all your books and kept up as much as I could. And so I just want to commend you with for your persistence and your dedication to the group you put together. It's a big inspiration. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. And let me ask you this. When you first met me, were you surprised that I wasn't taller?
No, I'm not that tall either. I'm very petite.
Most people are surprised that I'm not taller. But I run about 5'8".
You're taller than I am. I think I just barely make 5'6", and that's a stretch. But anyway, this is tremendous. I had asked Alan Langston, who is the head of the Arizona Real Estate Investors Association, to bring in speakers who also do commercial type of investments. And
yeah.
Alan so graciously, I couldn't believe it, but he so graciously apparently got a hold of you. And ever since then, you know, I have been following things. My problem was I was derailed very severely. You know, and this happens. This is life. You just deal with it. For the last several years, as a matter of fact, due to an illness that befell my father, and I had to become a primary caregiver. And also went through, ate up all my finances, just horrific. But this is not a sob story about me. I am here. I have bounced back, and I am getting my act together. And so I took an opportunity to listen to this phone call. Thank you very much.
Hey, you're welcome. You know, you do the things that you need to do to move forward, and I commend you for that, number one. Number two, I'm actually going to be back at that Easy RIA for a very rare appearance. I don't go out and speak that much anymore. I just teach at my own boot camps. I very rarely go to the RIA clubs anymore. But I was talking to Al about 4 or 5 months ago, and he invited me back, and I had such a great time the last time I was there, I decided to do it again. So I'm going to be there the whole week of September.
Yeah, and I saw that coming up. I hope I'm going to be in town when that occurs. I am going to Boston, though, unfortunately, it's the beginning of August. This is to meet with a dear old friend of mine.
Well, you come down to our office in Rockland, and we'll take you for a tour, and if you give me enough heads up, I'll take you out to lunch.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I'd love to see you again, Dave. Yes, I will
just
give you the
Jeannie.
Heads up. And I don't know how to contact you except through this phone call. Do I just go through your office? Would that be the best way?
Yeah, go through Jeannie.
Okay. Jeannie, yes.
Yeah, that's the same number I gave out earlier, 781-878-7114.
878-7171. Great. Thank you so much, Dave.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Right.
All right.
You too. Before we go on to the next caller, that goes for anybody. If you're in the Boston area, and our office is about 30 minutes south of Boston in a town called Rockland, and that is the education company, our acquisitions company. We moved to Dallas about 4 years ago. So I'm there occasionally. I'm not there. I go out and I see properties. I've got a CEO that handles stuff, and we do a lot of stuff through teleconferencing. But if you want to come in to the education company, get a tour of the building and go out to lunch, just give me a heads up. Usually a couple of weeks is good because my schedule fills up really fast in terms of things that I'm doing. And they'll be happy to have you over here. We'll have you tour the facility. It's 12,000 square feet. There's about 25 people here. And we also run our single-family flip out of here as well. So you can see that. We run the commercial out of Dallas, but we run the single-family flip, which is our local business right here. We'll show you that part of it as well. So who will be the next caller?
Okay, our next call comes from Ralph. Ralph, please go ahead.
Yes, Dave, I just got a quick question for you.
Sure.
On one of your videos, you bought your first six apartments.
Yeah.
Okay. On there, you mentioned that you had them filled up by the bank, or I'm assuming by Section 8. Question is, how did you do that when you filled them up?
Yeah, I did. So we're talking early on where I was buying 3 to 6 unit properties, and when I bought those, I like to buy them empty if I could. I don't like buying bigger properties empty, but I like buying the smaller ones so I can put my own tenants in there, so I'm not inheriting somebody else's problems. But I basically put down the paper that said that described the unit and said Section 8 okay, and then I had Section 8 tenants calling in, and it worked out really well. You know, you've got to screen them a little bit. You've got to screen, I should say this differently. You got to screen more of them to get the good ones, but once you get the good ones, you treat them right, they'll stay for you forever because those people are never going to buy a house.
Okay, so you didn't go through the government itself then?
No, we did not, and I don't believe you can do that. It is a government program, and you can go over to the housing authority. Every city has a housing authority, and you can put your apartment building in there. You can put your listing in there, and that's one way you can get Section 8 tenants. And the other way is to advertise. But there's no program where you go and say, hey, I want – there's a what's called a 203K program. It's a FHA 203K. No, not that program. It's a 231 program. It's a 231, and that is they give you a subsidy to either build or completely renovate a property. And because you get the subsidized money from the FHA, you agree to put – low-income housing in there, and then you can advertise through them to get the low-income housing, but it just fills up really fast because, you know, you can only charge an X amount of rent. And that's one way you can work with the government to fill your housing needs. Problem with it with that particular program is you can't profit from it. You can profit, but you can only profit a certain percent, and then the rest of the money goes to the FHA, which kind of sucks. So one of the opportunities is finding, and it's usually a 15-year program. So one of the opportunities is finding an FHA 231 finance deal that is on its 13th or 14th year, knowing that in a year or 2 years, those rents are going to be able to be moved to the market, and you can get a big pop doing that. And we've done that with a couple of deals.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, who would be next?
Okay, our next call comes from Ego. Ego, please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Dave. Thank you very much for all of the conversations and all the training and everything. I'm very new. I only started about a month ago. And I've gotten all the packages and everything that I was supposed to buy. And yesterday I got some kind of mentor that will be working with me. I have two major issues. First is that I want to flip. I want to make the very first sale, maybe by flipping contracts. I have no money. I have no credit. And I need to know how to go about it. I have a lot of foreclosure, home single, family homes. Out here, I'm working with the realtor. The BBB in New Jersey will not take me because I haven't been in business.
All right, listen, here's the deal, okay?
Yes.
You can get started with the situation that you're in, but the best way to do it is not through a realtor. The best way to do it is to look in your local newspaper, get the foreclosure listings there. They're typically what's called the Soldiers and Sailors Act, okay, and it's the bank's notification that they're going to foreclose on somebody, and it gives the person or anybody that knows that person X amount of time to say whether or not they're in the military, all right? So what you do is you send letters to those people, all right? They're typically very motivated, and then you go and you analyze their house, you analyze the deal, you make them an offer, you put it under contract. You make the offer in a way that you can flip it to another investor where they're going to make probably a minimum of $20,000. That's what most investors want to make. And you want to make a minimum of $10,000 when you're doing a flip. I like to say $15,000. And then you flip, and all you're doing is you're switching over a contract. And you do that a few times. You start getting money in the bank. If you've got bad credit, you start paying off, you know, your old debt. You start fixing your credit. You continue – the more deals that you do, the better that you're going to get at it. You continue doing it. Eventually, you can actually – you'll go to a hard money lender to do a deal because you know that you don't want to sell that deal to an investor or flip it to an investor because there's so much money in the back end. You go to a hard money lender that doesn't – that will do a deal at 65 cents on the dollar. Okay.
I'll go to who? I didn't get that part. Go
a hard
to
money lender. Hard money lender.
Okay, hard money lender. Okay.
Yeah. And we've got a list of them. We'll be happy to send you the list. And you go to the hard money lender, the ones that will do it for 65 cents on the dollar. And then you get into that deal, and then you get more money. Before you know it, you're doing deals, and you've got your credit reestablished, and life is good. You change your life.
Yeah.
You know, it's a process. You got to work a little bit at the beginning. Actually, you got to work a little bit all the time. I mean,
I want to work. I'm ready to work.
I'm not saying that you're not going to work. I'm just saying that, you know, for anything that's good in life, it takes work. So it takes a lot of work at the beginning to understand this business, but then after you get into cruise control, good things happen, and they happen fast.
Yes. Who is at the other end? I get the motivated seller, the person who has the house. Where do I get the buyer? Who is going to be the person?
Have you watched all the videos?
I have. That's the problem. I've watched them. I've read these things. And the buyers, the people I'm talking about in the NJREIA, you know, they're not coming up with any lucrative offers as far as I know. So that's part of my problem. If there are
say that again. What did you just say?
I mean the real estate investment group here in New Jersey. I attend their meetings. Okay, they have these people who ask us, do we have homes, for single family property and all the rest of it. But none of them is taking me on. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'm not getting the buyers on the papers or on the internet or anything like that.
Hey, go just go on Craigslist and create a property. Three bedroom house, handyman special, motivated seller, boom. Then you're gonna get a lot of investors. You're gonna get a lot of homeowners. You're gonna get a lot of investors calling you. Just let them know that one's gone, but you have others, and then you've just created a buyer's list.
Okay. You are the best. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate all the information you've given us. The problem is the very first one. I have to make it because I don't know how or what to do.
Yeah,
you're gonna
work your way through the process. That's all. You're going through it. Everybody goes through.
Yes.
So it's just a matter of working your way through the process.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Yes.
Keep doing it. And let us know how we can help you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Okay, thanks.
Yep. Okay, who would be our next caller?
Okay, our next call comes from Janet. Janet, please go ahead.
Dave, I've been contacted with some RV information, some RV sales and things, and I'm curious to know, because I haven't seen anything in any of your work about RV parks, how do you feel about those, and have you had any experiences with them?
RVs on wheels?
RV parks.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people have taken our Apartment House Riches program and done RV parks with them. It's very similar to doing apartments. You just have to make sure that the RVs are actually attached to the ground, you know what I mean? They're not on wheels. That's the biggest thing. But otherwise, they cash flow like apartments, and it's the same structure. And there's a couple of different banks that finance those. I can't remember off the top of my head, but we'll be happy to let you know who it is when you get one.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
great.
It's a good opportunity to do parks. Warren Buffett was in RV parks for a long time, or mobile home parks for a long time.
I didn't know that. Okay, wonderful. All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Uh-huh, thanks.
All right. Okay, who would be next?
Okay, at the moment we have no more questions.
All right, so to get on the line, press *0. We got some time. I'm actually working my way out of my office and over to an investor lunch. I'm about to do a lunch presentation to an investor. To invest in some of our deals. Same thing I teach you guys how to do. I want to take that and I'm going to go do it myself. So I recently did one in Columbia with a couple of coaching students. I got a call from a student that said that he had a lot of investors down in Columbia that were high net worth and they were interested in investing in the United States. And he was wondering if I was be interested in coming down and helping close them. And it was in Cartagena, and I said, absolutely. So a couple few weeks ago, with Nelson Zambrano and Chris Tucker and a bunch of Colombian investors, and it was a really, really good time. I actually ended up spending like 3 or 4 days. So beautiful. Okay, just getting the bugs out of my phone. All right, so, operator, somebody else on the line?
Yes, our next question comes from Lois. Lois, please go ahead.
Okay, good afternoon, Dave. How are you, sir?
Hi, Lois.
All right, sir. Yes, well, it's like a question and a half. Okay, with your, because I'm getting ready to buy your system, and I heard the lady that just got off the phone was talking about the RV parks.
Yeah.
Now, which is more beneficial or more lucrative? Because I personally, I think apartment buildings are pretty decent, but I think between mobile home parks and RV parks will probably work good with your system. Which you think is, when I say work better, as far as the expenses is much lower than actual as far as apartment buildings. Can you verse me on that, sir?
All right, here's the deal. First of all, if somebody's looking to get into real estate investing, it all depends on your mindset. I started out with apartments myself, so I wasn't interested in single-family properties, and then I started flipping single-families to get money for my apartment. But sometimes, you know, the easiest way to get a win is to flip a property, and then you've just gotten the deal, and you know you can do deals. You get all the confidence. The hardest deal for an investor to get into is the very first deal. And that's what we really focus on. So every investor is different in terms of their mindset. So I always say, you know, do whatever deal you feel comfortable doing first.
Okay.
Now, in terms of your question as to do I think RVs, what are better RVs, multifamily or even single family, you know, in the long run, I believe apartments are the best because apartments give you cash flow. There are a lot more of them out there. There's good quality management companies that manage them, the bigger the deals that you get. But that's not to say that going into the niche of mobile homes and RVs is not lucrative, because it is very lucrative. And there's not I can't say there's not as much competition out there, because there are people interested in it. But I know people that have rolled up several RV parks and sold them and made big profits. So that's an opportunity as well. Up here in the Northeast, that wouldn't be as viable for me, because there's just not that many of them up here. But if you're in an area or you're interested in an area that has them, maybe in an emerging market, you know, that's something that you may look at. But for anybody that's really just starting out and just wants to get a win, I think the fastest way to get a win is to flip a property, flip a contract on a property, just like I talked about on the previous caller.
Okay, now he said flip a contract. It could be on any property, anywhere from single family to apartments. To
oh, yeah, you could do any.
Oh, okay, because I'm in New York. Okay, I'm in the five boroughs. I'm in the five boroughs, Brooklyn, you know, Bronx, Queens. So I'm in.
Yeah.
No, so I don't know if
are you a Yankees fan?
Oh, yes, I am. As a matter of fact, I live 6 blocks from Yankee Stadium.
Well, you know, here's the deal. I don't know how they let you through this call. You know, the screeners didn't pick you up. We don't allow Yankee fans on this call.
Oh.
We're from Boston. We're all Red Sox fans.
I know Boston. I like Boston, too. Boston's okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was over in Yankee Stadium not too long ago. That is beautiful. That new stadium is just beautiful.
Yeah, it's excellent. Oh, God, over $52 million, I believe, that they renovated. It's perfect now.
Yep, you know what was even better? I watched the Oakland A's beat the Yankees 6-5, and Alex Rodriguez hit with two men on in the ninth, hit a long fly ball that looked like it was going to be a homer, but it was caught at the wall.
Yes,
I was the only person cheering in the whole stadium.
Yes, sir. Wow.
But now I know how the other half lives.
Yeah, now you know, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate it. Now, one half of a question. Now, with this flip, it doesn't have nothing to do with credit, down payment, anything of that sort.
No, you're just flipping a contract. That's you know, that's the great thing about flipping, is the fact that, you know, you're not going talking to any banks. You're not, even hard money lenders don't deal with your credit anyway. They just deal with the property. That's another good thing about getting started. Yeah. But flipping flipping a house is just flipping a contract. It's getting an investor to come in behind you.
Okay. So that same program that I'm getting ready to buy, because I'm getting ready to buy that program, the two-pay.
The flipping houses program? Yeah, that'll take you step-by-step through that model.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I was gonna do the apartment. I was gonna buy the apartment one, but it's still the same concept. Is that right? Is it almost?
Listen. If you want to get a quick win and get started in this business, I would get the flipping houses. The flipping houses one. Do a deal, okay, and then you'll have some money, and then get the apartment as well.
Oh, okay.
Then you'll have both going at the same time, which is basically what I did, but I did it in reverse. I started buying apartments, and then I started flipping single family.
Okay, so how do I get the I don't know what the going price for that flipping house.
Call the office, talk to Jeannie. The number 781.
Hold on 1 second. 781.
Yep, 878.
Wait a minute. 781-878.
Yep, 7114.
Mm-hmm. 1-4, talk to Jeannie, yep. Right?
Hey, and the good thing about that is you also get a boot camp with that as well, so you can come and we'll train you live as well.
Okay.
So you get the course, and then we'll give you the dates of the next boot camp, and if you can make it, come, because it's great. Not only do you see me and the staff in the room, but you also get the network with all the other people that are out there doing it.
Okay, sounds good. I appreciate it, Dave. I really do, sir. Okay.
All right, thanks for calling.
Okay, have a great day. Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. Who would be our next caller?
Okay, our next call comes from Robin. Robin, please go ahead.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, great. I came across the website from Zillow, and they're advertising bank-owned properties.
Yep.
Okay, how would I go about contacting those banks to get those homes under contract to sell them to, like, investors or something?
Well, so you want to go around the company that is advertising them? Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Well, you would have to target particular banks. The FDIC actually puts out a listing of all the different banks and who the offices are, and then it also has a rating for the bank. So what we do is we look at banks with low ratings and, you know, find out what they have in foreclosure, and then call over and tell them that we're interested. Send us a list. But you may start with just your local bank and say, hey, you know, walk in there and say, hey, I'm an investor and I'm looking to buy some of the properties that you're holding, and I was wondering if you could give me a list and I could review them and I can make you some offers. That's the way to do it right there.
Okay.
Some of them might say, oh, you know, we don't have anything. So the next step is to say, okay, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. When you do, let me leave my card. But what I really like to do is take you out to lunch. Is there a time where, you know, I could take you to lunch and tell you about my business and all that. And then, you know, you want to really try to establish and build a relationship with the banker. And once you've done that, then they'll loosen up and they'll start giving you properties.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Go do it.
I will.
All right. Good luck.
What is the other thing you're talking about, boot camp?
When you buy the flipping houses home study course, then we have a boot camp comes with that. We typically have three of those boot camps a year, how to flip houses. And they're in different parts of the country, usually one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, and one in the middle.
Well, I'm
so
in
it's
South,
a three-day live
Florida.
Training event. Pardon?
I'm in Florida.
So are we going to have one in Florida? Is that what you asked me?
I'm in Florida.
Oh, you're in Florida. Yeah. I know we're having one in California. And then we're deciding between Texas and Florida for our next one after that or before that. We'll have the schedule up pretty soon.
All right.
We just had one in Boston. So we got to get the new dates for the next ones.
All right.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Thanks.
All right, we got time for two more. Who's next?
Okay, at the moment we have no more questions.
All right, well then I'm going to take that opportunity to end the call, because I am driving up to this restaurant to take the investor out to lunch. But here's the deal. I've discovered in life that the people that are successful find reasons to be successful. The people that are unsuccessful find reasons that they're not successful. Okay? So it's all the way you look at life. You can be a success if you decide you're going to be a success. You're not going to let anything hold you back. You're not going to be a success if you decide that, oh, life's too tough, investing's too tough, or I got too many things going on, I'm too busy, I don't have any money, my spouse is not supportive, you know, blah, blah, blah. Everybody has excuses, okay? But the difference is that successful people have excuses to be successful. You know, they have excuses and reasons why they can do something, but unsuccessful have excuses and reasons why they can't.
So it's your decision. That's the great thing about this world and this life that we live is you have the ability to choose, and you can be on either side of the fence. If you want, if you're having a problem with the conversations that are going into your mind right now, I just read a great book called Mind Power. Like Mind Power. Go on Amazon, go, look up Mind Power, have it delivered to you, read through that book, take notes, and know that I am doing the same thing every morning that book says to do. And because I'm always looking to improve myself, and that's one of the better books I've read recently on how to control the conversation in your head, because we all struggle with that. Even the most successful people in the world struggle with that, and we're always looking for ways to win that battle. And this book is one of those resources that I've found that helps me win that battle daily. Okay, so until next time, have a great week. Put in offers. Hey, look, if you're not putting in offers, you're not in this business. So get out there and get in some offers and take action every day, no matter how small it is, and you will get to where you want to be. All right, talk to you soon. Bye-bye.